From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You're listening through voanews.id or our application RRI Play Go. And we from the Voice of Indonesia will be bringing you more information about Indonesia. Like the first one is the news, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. Digitization can play an important role in developing Sharia economy and finance in Indonesia because it could arrest a decline in the sale of halal products, boost certification of such products, and enable social fund transaction. This was affirmed by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin at the webinar on Sharia economy organized by Diponegoro University Undip Semarang Central Java on Wednesday. He also said that, as mentioned in the framework set by the National Committee for Sharia Economy and Finance, opportunities and challenges in the digitization of the Sharia economy are focused on four areas: halal industry, use of big data, artificial intelligence, and blockchain in supporting the development of the halal industry from upstream to downstream levels as new source of growth for the Indonesian economy. He also noted that amid the COVID-19 pandemic, digitization has played a crucial role, particularly in online transaction. He disclosed that during 2020, payments for halal products in the e-commerce marketplace were mostly made up of electronic money and bank transfers, which respectively reached 42.10% and 23.08% of the market share. By March 2021, the number of digital financial transactions in the banking industry in Indonesia reached 553.5 million, up 42.47% from the same period last year. Meanwhile, the value of transaction also rose 26.44% year-on-year to 3.025 trillion rupiah. Former head of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Laksana Trihandoko, has been officially appointed by President Joko Widodo as head of the National Research and Innovation Agency BRIN in Jakarta on Wednesday. In a press statement received by Voice of Indonesia, the appointment of Handoko as the head of BRIN followed the appointment of the agency as the Autonomous Center for Integrated Research and Innovation in Indonesia, which will be directly responsible to the President. Practically, the research institution in Indonesia, as well as research and development function in the ministries, will be integrated into the National Agency for Research and Innovation. In this case, the research integration will cover all management process, budget, and human resources. BRIN is aimed at consolidating resources, particularly budget and human resources. Handoko also explained that the consolidation target will start in 2022 fiscal year. BRIN is formed to become a provider of research infrastructure in various fields to improve the national economy. He further said that BRIN is expected to be able to become a bridge between sectors of research and industry. Jakarta Metropolitan Police have arrested five Indian nationals on charge of enlisting a quarantine mafia service to enter Indonesia without having to undergo a quarantine. As reported by Antaranus Agency, Chief of the Public Relations Bureau of the Jakarta Metropolitan Police, Senior Commissioner Yusri Yunus, during a press conference at Soekarno-Hatta Airport in Banten Wednesday, said that the Soekarno-Hatta Airport Police submitted five police reports that allegedly indicate seen suspects. Five of them are detained and have been named suspects. The police and immigration authorities are still searching for the two other Indians. He added the modus operandi of the quarantine mafia is not very different from the one disclosed by Jakarta Metropolitan Police investigators previously. Head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB, Doni Monardo, emphasized the need to plant millions of tree seedlings across Indonesia's coastal areas to mitigate impacts of disaster on vegetations. As reported by Antaranus Agency, Monardo remarked on Wednesday that 3,313 tree seedlings were planted on Wednesday, adding this figure is certainly not sufficient because Indonesia still needs millions of trees to be planted throughout Indonesian coastal areas. He made the statement to reporters after planting pule, palaka, and butun tree seedlings in the context of the disaster participatory vegetation mitigation movement vegetation planting of Cemara Sewu Beach in Buntan Village, Adipala sub-district of Cilacap. He also explained that Buntan was selected as the location for planting tree seedlings since the village was hit by an earthquake and tsunami in 2006, originating from the south of Pangandaran in West Java. Let's move on to the international news. The United States, Japan, and South Korea are arranging a meeting of their foreign ministers during the G7 meetings in the United Kingdom next week. As reported by Reuters.com, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Japanese Foreign Minister Toshimitsu Motegi, and South Korean Foreign Minister Chung Ae-yong are expected to affirm their cooperation on dealing with North Korea's nuclear and missiles development. North Korea has launched two suspected ballistic missiles into the sea near Japan in March, underscoring steady progress in its weapon program. This month, Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga said he and U.S. President Joe Biden agreed to insist that Pyongyang abide by United Nations resolution on its nuclear arsenal and missiles. And the United States is taking the lead in arranging the trilateral talks on the sidelines of the G7 foreign ministers meeting to be held May 3rd to 5th. Taiwan Foreign Minister Joseph Wu said on Thursday that the government has bought 150 oxygen concentrators and aims to send them to India this weekend to help it deal with a massive increase in COVID-19 infection and is also looking at providing further aid. As reported by Reuters.com, countries around the world have been rushing to help India alleviate the crisis. India's death toll from the coronavirus pandemic surge passed 200,000 on Wednesday, worsened by shortage of hospitals' beds and medical oxygen. Wu told reporters that they had been working on an aid package for India and had already purchased 150 oxygen concentrators, which should be able to be sent this weekend. He also said Taiwan is in the process of buying more oxygen concentrators and buying raw materials from overseas so the companies at home can produce even more. An oxygen concentrator reduces nitrogen from an air supply to produce an oxygen-enriched air supply to a patient. Wu also added, Taiwan is also looking at providing other aid as requested by India. India has reached the devastating figure of 200,000 coronavirus deaths, with the pressure on many hospitals showing no signs of abating amid a surging second wave. As quoted by BBC.com, the real number of fatalities is thought to be far greater, with many not being officially recorded. Oxygen supplies remain critically low across the country, with the black market the only option for some people. Crematoriums are operating non-stop with makeshift pyres in car parks. There have been at least 300,000 new infections every day in the past week, with more than 360,000 new cases in the past 24 hours on Wednesday. Overall, more than 17.9 million cases have been registered. Foreign aid has started to arrive from the UK and Singapore. Russia, New Zealand, and France have pledged to send emergency medical equipment, and even regional rivals Pakistan and China have put aside their differences and promised to help. Listener, that was the news.
Indonesia must always be on alert in anticipating the new wave of COVID-19 pandemic. This wave can be a serious threat and fatal if health protocol is neglected. The most prominent example is India, in which the COVID-19 casualties had gone beyond 200,000 on Wednesday. This, once again, should be a lesson for Indonesia to keep strictly implementing the health protocols. The pandemic also has destroyed the economic activities. The solution must be discovered soon. The government and related stakeholders must create a proper policy and innovation to restore the economy, and it will take creative and innovative individuals in explaining the policies wanted by Indonesian government right now. Therefore, cabinet reshuffle was necessary in order to improve the government's performance. About the reshuffle, the House of Representatives Speaker Puan Maharani said that with new ministers' inauguration, it was expected to end political speculations and to prove that a great reshuffle in the onwards Indonesia cabinet doesn't happen. Therefore, Puan Maharani asked the ministers to focus more on working amid many challenges, especially the pandemic and ahead of the Idul Fitri. Referring to the current situation, the government led by President Joko Widodo in their second period improved their government with a cabinet reshuffle on Wednesday. The inauguration at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta created a new ministry and merged two ministries into one. The nomenclature change had been approved by the House. Despite not making big changes in his government, President Joko Widodo still gave a chance for Nadiem Makarim as the Minister of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. The rumors had been proven wrong by the president by not making big changes in his cabinet. Meanwhile, the new ministry is the Investment Ministry. This is a development of Investment Coordinating Board or BKPM. At the same time, the National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRIN, had been released from the Research and Technology Ministry. BRIN became a state institution directly under the president. Hopefully, the first reshuffle in Joko Widodo's second period can bring good news in the making of innovation amid the new COVID-19 wave threat. Therefore, Indonesia must learn from the COVID-19 tsunami in India. According to the Observer of COVID-19 Task Force, the habits of people in India share similarities with Indonesians. So, the idea to keep struggling against the pandemic must be planted in all sectors driven by the government. Although the vaccination has been ongoing, it doesn't guarantee one's immunity against COVID-19. Health protocol and clean habits must still be done to end the pandemic.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen takudai wo tegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forego the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, today in history starts with the event on April 29, 1974, when Anggun C. Sasmi was born. Anggun C. Sasmi is the first Indonesian singer to penetrate an international music industry, and her albums have won gold and platinum awards in several European countries. She has won several awards for her achievements, including the prestigious Chevalier des Arts at Leicester's Award from the French government and world's best-selling Indonesian artist from the World Music Awards as the Indonesian artist with the highest album sales worldwide. Anggun is the first woman from Indonesia to be immortalized in a wax tattoo by the Madame Tussauds Museum in Bangkok, Thailand. She has also twice been inaugurated to become a global ambassador of the United Nations. Next event was in 1980, about the death of Alfred Hitchcock. Sir Alfred Joseph Hitchcock is a British director known for his thriller films. Influenced by the Expressionism movement in Germany, he then made his directorial debut in England before finally working in the United States in 1939. Throughout his life, Hitchcock has directed more than 50 films. His innovation and vision have influenced many filmmakers, producers, and actors. The last event was in 1991, Chittagong Hurricane. On the night of April 29, 1991, a severe tropical storm hit areas in southeastern Bangladesh, particularly in Chittagong district. Winds blew 210 until 250 kilometers per hour, and sea waves reached 6 meters high in the Bay of Bengal, heading north towards the coastal region of Bangladesh. This wave then swept away settlements and other buildings around Chittagong. As a result, as many as 138,866 people were killed, and hundreds of thousands were injured. The storm also destroyed buildings, including residential areas and other structures in the area. 10 million people lost their homes. 13.4 million people became refugees. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
So you think you can go back and forth, picking up my heart and drop it back on the floor. So you think that it's fine for you to come around after what you have done. How many times have I told you I don't need your apologies? If you're just gonna keep coming around and do it on repeat.
menuju sendiri. Saat kau mencari cinta, kau tawarkan cerita yang gak buat ku terpana. Namun cerita kau hanya ingin permainkan hatiku. Kau jatuh menangis, kau datang, kau pergi sesuka hati. Say baby don't leave me, I need you to stay. But baby I'm sorry, I'm so done trying.
I don't need that.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia on voanews.id or application RRI Play Go. The next one will be by Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Peatland and Mangrove Rehab Agencies BRGM joined hands with local governments, non-governmental organizations and the people to synergize and collaborate in a mangrove rehab program. Head of the BRGM, Hartono, in a written statement in Jakarta on Sunday said that synergy and collaboration are important because rehabilitating mangrove is everyone's duty. In a discussion with the farmer group in Dumai, Riau province, Hartono said that Dumai is a target for BRGM's mangrove rehab. The rehab area is 155,540 hectares of the total 600,000 mangrove rehab target until 2024. Therefore, BRGM attempted to encourage the people who have the concern to join hands in preserving mangrove and saving islands from abrasion. Similarly, Control Director of the Environment and Forestry Ministry Land Waters Damage, Sri Handayaningsi, said that mangrove ecosystem recovery requires commitment from many sides, not only depending on the government, but also encouraging the non-governmental sectors to take part. Meanwhile, Head of Dumai Mangrove Forest Tourism Management Datuk Darwis said that mangrove plays an important role in controlling global climate. As a coastal ecosystem, it also contains greater carbon than forests. If the mangrove grows well, people's prosperity will also increase. Therefore, Datuk Darwis said, rehabilitating mangrove becomes very important to be done by all. Datuk Darwis is a mangrove forest conservation activist who has dedicated 22 years of his life to preserve mangrove in Riau. He succeeded in making mangrove an alternative tourism destination in Dumai. Besides planting and nurturing mangrove forests, Datuk Darwis also develops and teaches the forest farmers groups to plant mangrove properly. According to Datuk Darwis, planting mangrove is about preserving not only the environment, but also culture that is important to keep.
They say that I just don't have it. They say
just go back, forget it. They say, they say, they say, I say, well, I'm just gonna get it. I say, I won't stop till I made it. I say, I will not regret it. I say, I say, I say, I can be that silver lining in the cloud. I'ma show the world what I'm about. I will sing out loud.
I will sing out loud.
Oh yeah. I can be that hole in the universe. I can be that joy that you deserve. I will sing. Feeling stronger, clap your hands. I can be that hole in the universe. I can be the joy that you deserve. I will sing out loud. If you're feeling lonely, tag your friends.
Let's take it higher now.
You can be the fire that lights up the world. Give your energy stronger to
Well, listener, more information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. For example, it is an information about Indonesian tourism or maybe the local wisdom of Indonesian people. Next, Indonesian Wonder.
In this fasting month, uniquely Muslim in Indonesia have a tradition ahead of breaking their fast. Its name is Ngabuburit. Ngabuburit is an activity that is carried out while waiting for the time to break the fasting. The term Ngabuburit is actually a term originating from the Sundanese language, namely Burit, which means the time before evening. So, Ngabuburit in the month of Ramadan means waiting for the time until Azan Maghrib, or the time to break the fasting. During Ngabuburit, many Indonesians carried out various activities until they forget about hunger and thirst when fasting. Some are just lying down, watching or playing games. However, for most of Indonesian people, Ngabuburit is by hanging out. While the community, especially children in the mountains of Menoreh Hill in Watubala Village, Sidomulyo Village, Kapanewon, Pengasih, Kulon Progo Regency, Yogyakarta, play the long pring cannon during Ngabuburit. Therefore, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder in Ramadan will introduce you to the game of the long pring cannon. The long pring cannon is made of bamboo sticks, which are almost 2 meters long. The bamboo is then perforated to make a wick. Then it is punched through the inner book of the bamboo, and the bamboo is tied with the wire so that it does not easily crack when the cannon explodes. Children in the Menoreh Hills usually make bamboo cannons during the day. Then in the afternoon before sunset, they play the long pring cannon on the hill so that they would not disturb other residents. The traditional game is known by different terms in other areas, such as bamboo gun, firecrackers bumbung, long bumbung, and many others. This game is mostly played by boys. Usually the games are found during fasting, before holidays, and in the commemoration of religious and customary holidays in various regions in Indonesia, including during the fasting month. Even though it carries dangerous risk, the bamboo cannon contains noble values, such as interpreting big day celebration, forms of gratitude and joy, preserving traditions, practicing creativities, and practicing courage.
Now, what are you wearing? Going to places that I have never been. Walking around like a superstar. Everybody seems to like you like they know you from the start. I see you on the news. You begging for reviews. Nobody then thought you would be you are right now.
Right now.
I'm living in my dreams right now.
Right now.
Listen to what I'm about to say. I sing to live and make you dancing. Proving myself that I am worth to be king. Rock turns to diamonds under pressure. Slow it down, hold it now. I'ma get my treasure. Let's fly. Just be yourself for a while. Just staring, something that you thought will never prove in it. Pick up the pieces and I'm moving on. Step aside the difference, now work hard against a million. You've got your own agenda, kita tidak berbeda. Percaya dengan apa yang akan kau raih. Dan terus berlari.
They say time is an illusion, but we remember the moments. I think that is what's important. All that laughter and affection, signing papers looking better. Who would have hit the progression when we're working to bless everyone in each and every moment?
Silence.
Give it a chance to take place, to put a smile on your face, to take away the days. Close your eyes so you can seize the day, so you can see your future and embrace the present. We're moving in the different pace, we're running in the different pace. We share the same space, same place to get on the groove and bust the move. It's cool, you can feel the same thing too. And we'll be here sharing love, sharing anything that's worth sharing. Look at me now, I'll make you singing my song. If you ever feel bad, I want you to sing my song. Outshining depression and the bad thoughts.
I sing to live and make you dancing. Proving myself that I am worth the begin.
We thirst the diamonds under pressure. Slow it down, hold it now. I'ma get my treasure. Let's go.
Well then, listener, the next one will be an information about Indonesia. Well, mostly it's about innovation. The next one is miscellany.
Listeners, a few days ago, Minister of Manpower Ida Fauziah launched the Religious Holiday Allowance Common Post in 2021, or POSCO THR. This Holiday Allowance 2021 POST aims to provide information, consultation, and complaint services on the implementation of the holiday allowance payments. According to Minister Ida, the existence of this POSCO is a form of government facilitation so that workers or laborers' rights to get religious holiday allowance can actually be paid according to existing regulations. Minister Ida also explained that the religious holiday allowance post provides several accesses to services that can be used by workers or laborers, employers, and the general public, such as offline services in the Ministry of Manpower's one-stop integrated service room, or PTSA, on Jalan Gatot Subroto, Kavling 51, Building B, first floor, South Jakarta. This face-to-face service is carried out while still paying attention to the set health procedures or protocol to prevent the transmission of COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, the religious holiday allowance post can also be accessed online via www.bantuan.kemnaker.go.id and through the 1563 call center. This service will take effect from April 20 to May 20, 2021, during working hours from 8 to 15 local time. In its implementation, the religious holiday allowance post involve a monitoring team from elements of the workers, labor unions, and from elements of employers' organizations who sit in the membership of the National Way Council. This monitoring team is tasked by monitoring the operation of the religious holiday allowance comment post 2021, as well as providing advice and input to the postcode team regarding the implementation of the religious holiday allowance post 2021. Minister Ida further stated that this religious holiday allowance post 2021 is formed not only in central level but also in provinces and regencies and cities throughout Indonesia. The establishment of this religious holiday allowance post 2021 at the central and regional level is carried out so that the implementation of coordination is more effective. She hopes that this religious holiday allowance can run in accordance with the mechanism and provision of the legislation in an orderly and effective manner, and an agreement is reached that can satisfy the parties, namely workers, laborers, and entrepreneurs. For entrepreneurs who violate the implementation of the religious holiday allowance post 2021, Minister Ida asked the governor, region, and mayor not to hesitate to impose sanctions in accordance with applicable regulation. Previously, Minister Ida issued a circular number 6/2021 concerning the implementation of the provision of religious holiday allowance in 2021 for workers, laborers, in companies where employers are obligated to give full religious holiday allowance to workers and laborers on D-7 Idul Fitri. That was miscellany.
Thank you. chasing constellations, passing the presence of this gravity.
Soon, strongest tree will quiver. Soon, leaves will fall and shiver. Bodies will fade away, but one thing remains.
Our love will stay.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku ocakuyo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata o mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bishaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
We have been giving you so many information and also so many songs from Indonesia. The next one will be a song, but there's a little bit information about it. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Entering the 1980s, Bimbo started making social and religious critical songs. The first religious song entitled Tuhan was created by some who was inspired after performing the Friday prayers. The lyrics of the song were composed by the famous Indonesian poet and writer Taufik Ismail. The lyrics are very simple but have a deep meaning, coupled with a touch of music from Sam and Bimbo's distinctive vocals to make this song legendary. Until now, the song is still played frequently, especially during the month of Ramadan. The song tells that the God Almighty is a place for people to complain and ask for forgiveness and protection. If we as human get closer to the God, He will be close to us and vice versa. Listener, here is Bimbo with Tuhan.
Tempat aku memuja, dengan segala doa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ada sajadah panjang terbentang dari kaki buayan sampai ke tepi kuburan hamba, kuburan hamba bila mati. Ada sajadah panjang terbentang, hamba tunduk dan sujud. Di atas sajadah yang panjang ini diselingi sekedar interupsi, mencari rezeki, mencari mengukur jalanan seharian. Begitu terdengar suara azan, kembali tersungkur hamba. Ada sajadah panjang terbentang, hamba tunduk dan ruku, hamba sujud tak lepas kening hamba, mengingat di kau sepenuhnya. Mencari ilmu, mengukur jalanan seharian. Begitu terdengar suara azan, kembali tersungkur hamba. Ada saja panjang terbentang.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.